Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Thanks to Amino Hassan, who joined us there. It was always a fun conversation with him, talking Last Dance, talking about Dennis Rodman, crazy stories, talking about the potential of the NBA, maybe getting a first step, whether it's coincidental or tangential or not, with individual workouts and guys being able to go to facilities once the states allow them to. Of course, this segment is brought to us by our friends at the satisfying crunch of Nature Valley Crunchy Bars, and keep your family going, which means outside fun for you. And with whole grain oats and real delicious honey, it's really tasty too. Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Bars. Cam Akers, running back, Florida State. Rams took him 52nd overall, second round, their first pick in this particular draft. He's set to join us in just a few moments. He'll be giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. So we'll talk to him. Greg, should I tell him you didn't love the pick of him in the draft or what?
I would prefer if you did not do that.
Oh.
Thank you.
Oh.
It has nothing to do with him personally.
Oh, interesting.
It's not a personal attack.
Oh. What do you think, Laura? Should I tell Cam Akers that Greg, corporate Greg, the producer of this program, hashtag Raider Boy, was not a fan of the Cam Akers pick, that he wanted an offensive lineman? Should I tell him that?
I think you should. I mean, you need to create offensive.
Be careful, Laura. With this.
I know you're my boss, so I was trailing lightly here, but I think you should. I mean, he said it, so it's not like, you know.
I mean, you did say it.
Yeah, I did say it. It had nothing to do with him, though, as we were just saying. Mm-hmm. And a part of it, let's go with it another way, George, just so we're on the same page here. What do you call me? You call me Corporate Greg.
Yes.
Why don't we just stick to that and make your decision from there?
Oh, look at you threatening me. Look
at
that. Look at that. Turning the tables. You want to have a management talent battle? Is that what you want to have?
I mean, look, if this is what you're going to try and start.
I mean, you just got into this, Corporate Greg. Let's slow down, okay?
Well, no, I'm saying
you're not Boss Betty pantsuits over there, okay?
I'm nowhere close to it. It's also, yeah. I'm saying from my side. I'm looking at it from my side, not a battle for you. I'm looking at it for me. As the corporate person, saying that to the Ram is a bad call.
No, I agree. But I just think it'd be funny if just to make I just also wanted to make you sweat a little bit to see if I'd actually ask him or bring it up to him. You know?
We're going
to
go back to that whole jerk part of your conversation, aren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think the audience, little by little, is starting to enjoy it. I think that there is some of that.
Oh. No, I don't think it's little by little. I think they just absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And I'm just the butt of every joke like I was before. I'm
yeah.
really happy about this. This is
yeah.
this is my favorite role at the station, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah. It is. You're good at it. You succeed at it.
I'm glad that that's what I'm good at.
I don't think that there's any question that you succeed at it. So I feel like, look, if you're good at something, you stick with it. You know, that's how I roll, you know?
Yeah, we've noticed.
Yeah, that's how it works. All right, so in the meantime, while we wait for Cam Akers to join us here in a second, where are you on the? I feel like the basketball thing is like a real thing. Like, I here's the thing. Like, every time people are couching their statements or, and I get why. Look, I get the public perception of all of this, but I gave you real reasons, right? And I didn't get a chance to outline it all with Amin. But the testing in this country needs to get to a magic number of 500,000. Once it gets to that, and we're at 300,000 now, and that was a big jump from just, you know, 7 to 10 days ago where it was 150,000. If God bless us all, if we can get to that point, I know it's taken a while, but if we could just get there, like, I'd be happy with that because it would feel, first of all, like we could be potentially in a place where we could have a slice of normalcy back in our own lives, forget sports for a second, but then potentially get sports back, which really could bring us a real slice of normalcy, an extra slice, right? So you get two slices, and you know, you get the ability to have the escape again. Now, look, clearly we know fans are going to be out of this thing. Like, I'm not worried about that. I just want sports back. I do. And I think that whether it's the NBA opening up these facilities little by little, as states allow, I just think that's a good first step. Greg, no, you don't agree?
Yeah, no, I do agree with you. I think it is a good first step, and it's very positive to hear that we're so close to that 500,000 number. And I think last hour you made a good point of
I don't know about so close, but closer, which I'm closer, fine. Sure, you know, it's sure. fine. Closer, like let's keep sure. going up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But I think you made a good point last hour when you were talking about how look, guys are going to want to work out and they're going to need to work out, and to get them into a safe space opposed to just going to some random gym where it could be where anything could happen, I think that's a good thing for them to do. To get them all into one place is a smart idea.
Gotcha. So the Rams just called, and Cam is running a little bit late due to the workout. He's been working out. So, all right. So hopefully we'll have him on, you know, we'll have him on before Kirk is my guess. So Kirk is at 11:40. We've just added Kirk Morrison to recap the draft with us, our buddy from the Morrison School of Higher Education at the Morrison household, as he's got several of his children learning on Zoom. We will talk to Kirk at 11:40. So we'll talk to Cam in the interim. So
what do you think the letter of the day is for Kirk, by the way? Sorry.
Ooh, we were doing S last week, right? So we've gotten close to the end of the alphabet by now.
You'd hope so.
So we talked to Kirk. What was it? Probably... I got to say, we got to be like X, Y, or Z at this point.
Yeah, it was Thursday. It had to have been Thursday because it was the first day of the draft. So, and she was at S, so then Friday would be T?
T-U-V.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be like close to the end. Yeah, you got to be like V or W, X in that range, I would say. Maybe even further, potentially.
How can we get the show to make it? Let's say it's a W. What is a good W word for the show?
Greg never takes W's.
No. All right, let's go to another subject.
Okay.
It's your favorite part of the day. I think you get off the air after all this where you just ripped me apart for 2 hours and you go, ah, I just feel so much better. That whole thing with the with the air conditioning, that's just off my back now. I feel great.
I mean, perhaps. You never know. But
love being a punching bag.
But anyway, there is a story. We were just talking about the NBA. Did you see the baseball story?
From Jeff Passan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So baseball has a story out. Jeff Passan, our boy, speaking of teaching his kids at home, we helped him roll his R's. Did you send that stuff to him, by the way?
I did send it to him. He never responded back to the email that we sent it to him. But he did say, though, that when you put up your post, that he said it was all garbage. Every response that he was getting was garbage. He didn't like any of them.
Okay.
So hopefully what we came up with on the air was better.
Okay, better. So anyway, Passan's got a story that's on ESPN.com right now in the ESPN app. It says, there will be MLB in 2020. It's just a matter of when, where, and how. So he talks about, is it possibly opening day in July? A fall mega tournament, 1 month from when the season would have started. Baseball is ruling out nothing in its quest to play this year. And he's got a quote from Manfred that was sent out in a memo to teams. And here's what Rob Manfred said. You ready?
Yep.
While I fully anticipate that baseball will resume this season, that's key right there. That's a big sentence. It is very difficult to predict with any accuracy the timeline for the resumption of our season. In the letter, Manfred told employees, managers, coaches, scouts, and other non-players that he planned to suspend the contracts this Friday, allowing teams not to pay them if they so desire. Nearly every team is guaranteed operations employees payments through May 31st, a date sources said that is no accident. The next month could provide a number of answers into issues that baseball is considering as it plots its return, and the long-term retention of employees across the sport may depend on having a known or at least expected revenue generator. The end of May isn't a drop-dead point to have a plan in place, sources said, as much as it is a reasonable and logical one. And remember, we had him on like three appearances ago when he had the original story about playing in Arizona. And he said, look, owners want to have this ready to roll in May. And then since then, but he had said, if I was betting, I'd bet on the end of May. And then shortly after he came on that day, we had the story where it was May 31st, right? That they were going to pay employees till May 31st. So in this story, he does talk about how that's not a coincidence. And it's what? April 27th today? Is that the date? April?
Yep.
I mean, it all runs together now, it feels like. But it is April 27th today. We've got a month, I think, to potentially get to that magic number of 500,000 tests. If we can get there as a country And again, I know it's taken a long time, and I would have liked it to have been potentially accomplished faster. Yes, because we could have saved more people. We're all in agreement there, I think. However, if we can get to that number, and we can start to test the general public and really try to our best to curtail what is happening, I think that sports then can feel okay from a morality standpoint in moving forward. And I think little by little, things are slowly but surely, I think, well, I mean, not surely, I can't admit that it'll be surely, but slowly trending in the right direction. So baseball sending out that memo, I think, is also another positive step. Like, I think I have been an optimist about this, Greg. Ramona was on with us last week. We talked about this numerous times. She'll be back on with us on Wednesday. She and I are on the same page here as optimists. And I think Ireland also has kind of been on this optimism island, too, when it comes to sports.
Yeah, I think a lot of people at the station actually have. Ireland, Mason, Key has definitely been very optimistic about this also. It's all these things are all trending in the right direction, and I like what they're doing. Paying got people through May 31st is the right move. I think what in the story it's talking about how it's you pay them till May 31st so they can have a plan, hopefully in set by 31st so that they can start playing in July. So to be able to have those ideas and ready to go, I think that's a good thing. It's positive. It's we're on the right track.
All right, coming up next, we're going to check in on our polls on Number Mania. We also had a poll earlier. We were talking about the NFL draft. Would you draft for need or would you draft best player available? We'll check in on that. We'll take some calls on that too because I thought that was a fun discussion we had in the first hour at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Also, kind of your thoughts on some of these maneuvers by the NBA and Major League Baseball. Feel free to weigh in on all that stuff. But also, we'll have Cam Akers of the Rams. He's set to join us here momentarily, so stick around for that. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. We're expected to have Cam Akers on in just a little bit. This segment's brought to you by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance, and of course, by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise at Straight Talk Wireless. So we've got Number Mania going on right now. What happened in the first round, Greg? Did Nolan Ryan win running away?
Yes, Nolan Ryan did win running away. It wasn't very close. This one, number 31, though, is pretty interesting, and I wonder what you think. The three names we put up there were Kurt Rambis, Mike Piazza, and Reggie Miller when he was with the Bruins.
Right.
But there was also guys like Jock Peterson is playing right now. Ed O'Bannon won a championship with UCLA. Who would you choose in all that?
So I voted Mike Piazza.
Yeah, so do I. And he's ahead right now. He has a 57% of the vote compared to Reggie Miller with 31.
We also had another poll up there, which was about what would you draft, need or take the best player available? And you can vote at ESPN Los Angeles. And that's at 62% of the vote, take the best player, which means you're taking an L right now.
You
might take that L, bro.
Oh my God! How much are we?
Well, now Laura has multiple, Laura. Right? Play that one again.
Birdman, you gonna have to take that L, bro.
And then, of course, there's the one of your voice, right?
Greg,
we have that one.
The L.
Yeah, yeah. We're developing a library, which is nice.
You know what, George? I'm trying to figure out what's going on with Cam Akers, so you can
okay.
Go ahead.
You can do that. Let me go to Michael and Pomona. Michael, where are you going? Need or best player?
What's going on, George? Thanks for having me. Ultimately, I think you want to draft for need. But when there's certain players that fall into your lap, I'm a Cowboys fan. So, you know, when CeeDee Lamb fell to us,
right.
You can't help but to take those. Like the Kid Love, I agree with what the Packers did taking him because it sets up their future. Like Aaron Rodgers may be around for the next 4 years. I get it. But then you have another 10 years or, you know, after that to kind of groom this Kid Love. So ultimately, you want to draft for need, but there are certain situations where you got to grab the best player available.
Yeah, I'm with you wholeheartedly. Thank you for the call, Michael. You got to take the best player available. I know that you said initially that you'd like to draft for need, but you understand the taking the best player available. I'm always the guy, and feel free to chime in, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Give me the best talent. If you can give me the best talent, I'll figure out a place to put him. And I think that that's clearly Sean McVay at this point. He's like, Cam Akers on the board. This dude was the number one high school running back. coming out of, you know, coming out of high school, going into college at Florida State. He played at a Florida State, on a Florida State team that just, they weren't that good. Like, they had bad offensive lines. And even despite that, he still had crazy numbers. He rushed for over 1,000 yards a number of seasons. And he wasn't, you know, they did it by committee, but he was still by far the leading guy. And he was great after contact, which, look, you have the combination in theory of him and Darrell Henderson. You have the home run hitter in Darrell Henderson, and you got a guy in Cam Akers who can take the pounding and kind of bowl over guys. I like that. I like that combination of those two guys. Now, you know, when we talk to Cam, I guess there's some people that think that maybe he could do a little better job in the passing game, but he's fine in pass protection. And I think that, as a matter of fact, he might have been the only guy pass protecting for Florida State this year. And then, of course, there would have been, you know, some issues. I guess maybe they think he could do a better job catching the ball. But I think that stuff is overstated. I just don't know if he had a ton of opportunities to do that at Florida State. But I loved it. And to me, always take the best player available. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Charles is in Long Beach. What's up, Charles?
Hey, George. It's Charles. Big fan, man. I just wanted to talk about the Chiefs. I'm a huge Chiefs fan over in California. And I was kind of surprised by the pick of the running back from LSU. I just wanted to get your opinion.
Oh, he's a beast, dude. He's like, I think a shiftier version of Mark Ingram, you know, who plays for the Ravens to play for the Saints. I think he's a shiftier version of that, maybe a faster version of that too. But he's built like a bowling ball, man, and he can do everything. Wow. He can run the ball, he can pass block, he can catch. He was arguably, outside of Burrow, you know, you can make the case he was the most important player on that offense after Burrow. And look, they had two receivers that I thought were first round type talents. So I think he's tremendous. So I think that the rich get richer with him.
Yeah, it was kind of like a weird situation because all those other guys are a little faster and have big, kind of bigger names almost because he kind of came on the scene late there.
Yeah.
But I was just surprised, but I'm glad that Andy and them, and you know, they went ahead and picked him. It's going to be a good year, man.
Now, are you worried about Greg Bergman's Raiders trying to, you know, run a track meet with your team?
Come on. It's the Raiders. What are we talking about here? Are we talking about Rich Gannon coming back? Come on. Rich Gannon's not running through, walking through the door. What do we got? Hey, if they had Tim Brown still, I might be a little worried, you know?
Oh, wow. Bergman, that's a lot of trash talk, Bergman.
That is a lot of trash talk. Just because you're naming old guys that were good doesn't mean that they don't have guys that right now are good. This team is going to be able to run with you now, and their defense is getting better to be able to try to stop guys like Tyreek Hill.
Look,
it's going to get better.
They can run with you. They may be able to run with them, Greg, but can they play football with them is the question.
There you go, George.
Yes,
talking about.
Absolutely.
It keeps you the champs, baby. Last time they won it, 1969. We brought it back. Let's go.
I mean, you got to give the Chiefs a lot of credit. Thanks, bud. Appreciate the call. You can't be sitting there trash talking with a Chiefs fan right now. I mean, they kind of own you right now, don't they?
Well, they absolutely do. They just won a Super Bowl, and they have beaten the hell out of the Raiders for the last couple of years.
Yeah,
it's. I'm not trying to deny any of that. I just think that they're on their way upwards, and they're going to start being able to challenge them. If it's not this year, next.
I will say this, though. I like that Raider fan is in the mix right now. I want them to be good because I am a firm believer. Look, I believe that certain teams, when they're good, it's great for the sport. And I think the Raiders are one of those teams, especially with Gruden, this big personality, right? You know, he was a media guy. He was their former coach. Like, you know, I'll tell you what, man, you know, that Keyshawn Johnson, he was tough to coach sometimes, but we won a Super Bowl together, man. So it's all good, you know?
Knock on wood if you're with me.
Yeah. I love me Keyshawn now, man. That's all water under the bridge, man. You know what I'm saying, man?
You're no Frank Caliendo, but that wasn't terrible.
Yeah. So no, I'm not. You know, I'm not a. I don't do a Gruden. Sorry. I can do the cadence and the actual words. I just can't do the actual impersonation of the voice. But I think when the Raiders are good, I think it's good for the sport because their fans are fantastic. They're super passionate. And in college football, it's the same thing with USC. In college, there are certain programs when certain programs are rolling, you could always tell the ratings go up. USC, Texas, Notre Dame, Miami, and Nebraska. Now, three of those, right? Texas, obviously it's Texas, right? There's a million Texas Longhorn fans all over the state of Texas. USC, Los Angeles, big market. Miami, big market, right? Hurricanes, won championships, history, just like USC and Texas and these schools. Notre Dame, history, right? Nebraska, history, and here's this. Did you know that Nebraska has the third largest alumni base in the entire country? I had no idea that was the case.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know it was that big of a deal, but I just knew that Nebraska was always a huge, huge college football, and they haven't been good for years now.
Yeah,
they have been down.
So when those schools are good, like, you know, the USC, Nebraska, Notre Dame, Texas, Miami, the ratings go up because people either love those teams or they hate those teams, or they love to hate those teams. So I'm a believer that certain teams are good for the sport. The Raiders are that in the NFL. I think that, you know, look, I know I make fun of the Knicks a lot, but the NBA is more fun when the Knicks are good. I just don't want them winning a championship because I think it's more fun that way, that they're like kind of this lovable loser kind of thing going on. But when
thank you.
What?
So people don't understand the lovable loser thing. Like, I didn't want the Chicago Cubs to win a championship because now they're just another team.
Yeah,
not that
I agree.
Loser anymore.
I agree. Now, it was cool to watch, but then in retrospect, you're like, oh, yeah, but now it's over. You know what I'm right. saying? Like, there's that. Same thing with the Red Sox. You know yep. what I mean? Like, they were Wile E. Coyote to the Yankees roadrunner. And they always had the anvil falling on them like Wile E. Coyote in the cartoons. And it just always felt that way. I mean, listen, nothing was more epitomized that more than the 2003 ALCS when Grady Little took out Pedro Martinez and Aaron freaking Boone hit that home run, you know, like in extra innings.
Tip my cap and call the Yankees my daddy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a great line. But once they won, it was like, eh, whatever. You know, it's just not that interesting anymore. Like, it's not.
No, and then the Cleveland Indians are now the next team, and you're like, eh, it's just the Indians.
Yeah, the Cavs, too. Like, I mean, it was a cool story for LeBron. I get it. Like, don't get me wrong, but it's kind of like, eh. You know, the whole Cleveland thing, the mystique is kind of gone. I guess there's still the Browns and the Indians, but whatever. It's not the same.
Nope.
I do think there is a fun kind of spin to the lovable losers thing. Hey, so what do we've got on our buddy Cam Akers? Anything yet or no?
Yes, he told me that they are hoping by 11:30. If not, we're going to have to try and push for another day.
Okay, fair enough. So if you had to assign a percentage right now, Cam Akers in the next segment, because we're going to have to take a break here in a second. Cam Akers next segment. What are you saying? Are you rolling the dice?
Ooh, I'm going to be the optimistic guy today and not the negative guy, and I'm going to say 70%.
All right. Wow, that's big. 70%. Laura, what do you think? Let's go with you. What do you think?
45%.
35?
Yeah. Mm. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to be
negative Nancy. No, it's okay. I will meet you halfway and be at about 55%. So more positive than not, because I trust the Rams. They always do good by us. And it's sometimes these things are out of their control. But I'm looking forward to talking to Cam Akers. Either way, I've got a really awesome story. We've been trying to be super positive when it comes to kind of life right now. And though I'm being kind of fun and negative with Greg, but that's a different story. But we've got what I think is going to be the coolest thing from an entertainment standpoint that could come out of this pandemic. We'll tell you what that is next, or with Cam Akers maybe, but all next. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Kirk Morrison is going to join us in a few minutes to recap the draft with us. If you missed any one of our interviews today, Amin was on with us earlier, or at any time, really. You can go back weeks, really, on the podcast, on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify, or Google. Go check out the entire interview on demand section of the Sedano Show podcast, brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. So, a couple things. We've got a birthday today, Corey Seager. Happy birthday. How old is Corey Seager today?
He's got to be right around, what, 26?
27? He is 26 today. Look at you, Greg,
oh,
Dodger boy.
Look, off the top of my head.
It's
off
on the rundown. Dome. Calm down, yeah. Greg.
Oh, wow.
Is it?
Yeah,
it is on the rundown. It is true. I just looked at it right now.
Does it say 26th birthday? Oh, it
yes,
does say 26th. I did not look at it. It also has Keenan Allen's birthday, but I wouldn't have known his birthday. He's 28.
Yeah. So a couple things before I get to what I think is going to be the coolest entertainment thing that's going to come out of this pandemic. Bergman, how are we doing today on Number Mania at number 31? Now, Mike Piazza was leading earlier. Where are we right now?
Mike Piazza is still leading with a resounding 63% over Reggie Miller at 27.
And this bothers you for a real specific reason. Like, you hate Mike Piazza. We were talking earlier about why you hate the Rams.
Hate the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It sounds kind of like you hate the Rams. But you definitely hate Mike Piazza.
Yeah, I am not a Mike Piazza fan, and I don't think I ever can be again.
Why?
Because he ripped... Yeah, the book where he ripped apart Vin Scully, and you don't say anything bad about Vin Scully. That's it. You're off.
Now,
out.
I vaguely remember there being something in the book, but what were the specifics? Do you remember the specifics?
Yeah, so the specifics were basically that Vin Scully
Did you just say the statistics?
Specifics. It's a hard word to say, George. Specifics. Specifics. So the specifics were like, you're trying to ask me to write. All right, the specifics were that
I like that we've rattled you. Like, we've totally rattled you today.
It doesn't take much. That Piazza in his book said that Vin Scully was crushing him because Vin said, hey, when he was trying to get his contract done with the Dodgers, he put on a February 15th deadline, and Vin Scully was telling him, like, hey, what are you doing with this self-imposed deadline, and what are you going to do? And the way that he put in the book was, the way the whole contract drama looked to them, many of whom were taking their view from Scully, was that by setting a deadline and insisting on so much money, I was demonstrating a conspicuous lack of loyalty to the ball club. Vin Scully was crushing me.
Wow.
Nothing bad about Vin.
Vin was taking him out by the knees.
No, he was just saying, what are you doing? Why are you going? What is going on with your 15th?
Well, but look, I love Vin Scully. And do we know he's okay now from the fall? Like, I know
yes,
he was.
He is.
It seemed like he was okay, right? Good.
Yes.
Okay. And I know we all love Vin Scully, but look, there's a rule, right? Don't be talking about another man's money, man. You know what I'm saying?
No, he was you're loyal to the ball club. Mike Piazza was not. And if I remember correctly, they offered him like a $100 million contract when $100 million was a gigantic amount of money.
Listen,
it still is.
He said no. Vin Scully, just like the next guy, okay? He was the soundtrack to baseball as I was growing up. He was calling the World Series when I was a kid, okay? I didn't live here, but I listened to him every year call the World Series when he was doing it. So here's the thing. And I'm going to open up the phones right now. 877-710-ESPN. As much as you love Vin Scully, is it still not cool to be talking about another man's money?
There's nothing that Vin Scully can say.
Laura, I know you love Vin Scully. I know you're a Dodger fan.
I know.
But is it okay to talk about another person's money like that?
No. My money's my money. Don't let it be in your mouth.
Yeah.
I love Vin, but I got to say with you, George.
Hot take.
Shocking.
I love
that Laura
Vin.
Sides with George.
I love Vin, but you can't be talking about other people's money, man. Like, you know what I'm saying?
He wasn't saying like, oh, you don't deserve this amount of money, or that you should. All he's saying is, hey, what are you doing with this ultimatum and a February 15th deadline? It has nothing to do with the money.
It's still about his money. It's about the contract, wasn't it?
No, it was about the contract. It was like saying, are you loyal to the Dodgers or are you more worried about your money?
Let's go to Gelato Drew to help settle this. Go ahead, Gelato Drew.
Bergman is wrong here. Those are fighting words or fighting actions when you're worrying about another man's money, his bread, his chalupa.
Yeah.
Guac.
Yeah.
You can't do
his
that.
His chicken, as Marshawn Lynch said.
You know, and I love Vin, but no, you do not do that to another man. At all. And in the time, there was no social media then, so people were, like, Piazza's right. They were getting most of their input from Vin. So Bergman's dead wrong. But he's talking about the Rams, though, too.
Can you tell Bergman he's taking an L?
Bergman's the king of L's at that station.
Ooh, that's a good drop right there that we can run back later.
That's
I love
a good
you,
one.
Bergman.
Bye, Gelato Drew.
Today is just not my day or week or whatever you want to call it at this point.
No.
I'm not going against Vin Scully. I don't care what any of you
say. I'm not saying you have to go against him. I mean, the man is a saint, but it doesn't mean that everybody is infallible. Like, occasionally you can do something that, like, you're like, okay, I don't agree with it. Let's go to Ted in Fullerton. Ted, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, I don't think it's bad for Vin Scully to say something like that about it. I mean, yeah, what's he doing? He's been loyal to the team, too. He's part of the team.
I get it, but would you be cool, like, if someone at your job, like, was talking about your finances? Like, I don't think that's cool.
Well, if I was under a contract, maybe, but I'm not under a contract. I'm hourly.
Okay, but what if you are the best employee at your job, which he was at that time, and someone who ain't your boss is telling you, "Hey, man, why do you want a raise? We should all get raises then." And your response could be, "Well, I'm producing more than everyone, right? Like, why are you like? That's not a cool conversation to have."
Look at it that way, yeah. But he wasn't saying it like that, though.
I mean, he was asking him why he had a deadline on his contract.
Yeah,
talks.
Why did he? I mean, why would I ask him anyway? Why you got a deadline on your contract, Mike?
Because sometimes you got to play hardball with the man. You can't let the man keep you down.
That's what they said in a movie. School of Rock. You can't let the man get you down.
Thank you. You see, Ted, now you feel me. Ted, thank you for the call. Let me grab Casey in Hollywood. Casey, how are you?
I'm all right, but I got to laugh at your irony here. You're a professional sports broadcaster who talks about contracts anytime any player is in free agency, and you're saying another sports broadcaster shouldn't be talking about a man's money.
Casey, I don't really talk about a ton of people's contracts very often, to be honest with you, because I don't like to go down that path, because I'm very much in the camp of you are paid whatever someone thinks you're worth, right? That I don't have an argument beyond that. And
sure.
Here's what I would also say. There's also a difference, and I understand Vin was allowed to editorialize, but I would say there's also a difference between someone whose job, like mine is to strictly opine, as opposed to someone who's calling a game. That it's not supposed to be that way.
And there certainly is a fair point there. I also think there's a lot of people who have hatred for Mike Piazza besides the...
No, and I get that. That's fine. And look, Vin Scully is a saint, okay? He is. I love him. He was the soundtrack of baseball, as I mentioned, even though I didn't grow up here, because he was calling the World Series when I was a kid. And he is the best to ever do it. There is no discussion. But even a saint can get something wrong once in a while, or you can disagree with him occasionally.
Sure, but it's also not a reason to then... go off on, a team and no longer want to even act like you've ever been part of their history and go into the Hall of Fame wearing a Mets hat when, let's be honest, you're damaged.
No, that's stupid, too. You're absolutely right. That is really dumb. Yes. You're right. You're right. It's dumb. I'm with you. All right.
Good job, Casey. That was the right point to make.
I mean, sort of.
Greg, they both flopped.
Flop. Everybody flopped on you.
Yeah, everybody flopped. They flopped.
Laura, just...
Hey, Kirk Morrison will join us to recap the draft. We'll talk to him in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
How does it feel? Kirk Morrison hanging out with us now. We'll chat with him, recap the draft. But before that, I had mentioned I thought there was going to be a pretty cool event coming up. From an entertainment standpoint, I think it will be the entertainment event during this pandemic. I know we've all been clamoring for content. And it's Chris Rock is putting together a comedy festival. Like, people can do it from their homes or whatever. And Chris Rock, it's called Feeding America Comedy Festival, the live stream benefit. And he's invited Eddie Murphy, Adam Sandler, Billy Crystal, Tiffany Haddish, Kevin Hart, Mark Maron, Margaret Cho, and there's going to be a bunch of other people on this lineup. Kirk Morrison, who's missing there out of that group? Who else do you need to see there? Marlon Wayans, by the way. Taraji Henson is also there. Kenan Thompson, John Lovitz, Caroline Ray, Tim Meadows, Jamie Kennedy, Bill Engvall, and Cheryl Underwood are the other comics on this. Who's missing?
I don't know. I mean, that's a good group. I mean, you get Dave Chappelle going and then all of a sudden, yeah. you got me.
Yeah, Dave Chappelle would be a good one. Amy Poehler would be a good one. Tina Fey, right? Like, if you can get if you can get those three, then I think you don't need anybody else.
No, you get Chappelle. That's for me, that's the price of admission right there. So,
yeah.
All good.
So it'll be cool. They're going to do it on, I think it's going to be Netflix or... It's actually, excuse me, I want to take it back. Chris Rock is the headliner, but he's working with Brian Allen. Brian Allen is the entertainment reporter. He's been around forever, and it's called Feeding America Comedy Festival, and it's a live stream benefit, and it will be on, let me see, I don't know. It says here it's going to be on something called Comedy TV or Comedy.TV. and the Weather Channel, apparently. Really? The Weather Channel is going to have this on? I mean, whatever. I'll watch it on the Weather Channel. I don't care where it's on. I'll just watch it. But the Weather Channel stopped doing weather a long time ago. They're kind of like MTV, but they only do weather like for a few hours, like in the morning and maybe late in the evening, and everything else is like tornado shows.
It's only so much you can do, right?
I mean, they used to be like 24/7 just giving me the weather. You know what I mean?
Right,
like they,
right.
They don't do that anymore. All right. Speaking of 24/7, we were 24/7 draft Kirk Morrison for a while. Yeah. Now, Greg Bergman and I had it out in the first segment. He doesn't like the Rams picks in the second round. I thought they were good. Where did you stand on all of it?
Well, I mean, it was an area of need for me, the first pick. I said it before, even throughout the show last week, and then people leading up to the Rams pick, I said they're going to pick a running back. That's just – they have to. It is a position of need. And I knew they were going in the second round, and so many people were like, but what about Darrell Henderson? I was like, your guess is about as good as mine with Darrell Henderson because he didn't play last year. So how can I count on a guy who barely played last year, right? You got to go out and see if you can create some more competition at that position. And look, Cam Akers is that guy. I loved watching him at Florida State when he came in as a freshman, and you knew he was going to be an early entry into the National Football League. But obviously, you switch head coaches at Florida State, you switch offenses, and his production went down. So he's not going to be running that type of offense in the NFL. That's a great pick for Sean McVay and even Van Jefferson. I watched him at multiple games, but I always go back to the LSU game last year, George. He was unguardable a lot of times, and we saw how many players from LSU got drafted, and yet he had a monster game as well. So I like those first two picks for the Rams in the second round because it really, to me, were areas of need, right? You lose Brandon Cooks, and now you replace him with the Van Jefferson, or he joins the group of receivers, and you got a running back in Akers. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Let's start with Akers real quick. If I recall correctly, he was the number one running back coming out of high school.
Correct.
So that's accurate. Right. And then he played on some Florida State teams that just weren't traditional Florida State teams, that they weren't that good. But despite that, he was a beast with a bad offensive line and particularly after contact. Like, he's actually a good complement, I think, to Henderson, who's like a home run hitter. This dude will run you over.
I just still don't know what we have with Darrell Henderson yet. I mean, are we still comparing him to where he was drafted at last year, or are we watching because of what he did in games? Because we didn't see a bunch of that, right? It was still Ty Gurley in the game and Malcolm Brown. Darrell Henderson was still the third running back on the Rams roster. Now, all of a sudden, he goes from 3 to 1. I don't know. So when I look at Cam Akers, I just look at a guy that, you know, still rushed for over 1,000 yards this past season, was in his third different offense in the last couple of years at Florida State. I thought he would be a first-round running back, but the Rams get him in the second round. So, to me, I don't see anything wrong with the pick. I actually love the pick, and it creates competition. And if you look at the NFC West, right, just look at the NFC West. Who truly has a bell cow running back?
Nobody.
Honestly, George, nobody does.
Nobody.
Right? No one has just one guy you got to stop. Like, 49ers had 3-4 guys they had in the
Seattle
Super Bowl.
Too?
Seattle, same thing. They don't have just one guy. It's 3 or 4 guys. The same thing when you look at the
Arizona.
What's that? Seattle, San Francisco, and then the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, they had Kenyon Drake. They traded away David Johnson. They've added another guy. So, look, I understand you have running back by committee. That's the way the National Football League is, unless you have that truly standout like a Christian McCaffrey and Ezekiel Elliott or Saquon Barkley.
Are you worried about Jefferson's age, like him being too old and like people saying that, you know, he's kind of topped out as a prospect? Does that bother you at all?
No, I think the Rams really have to start figuring some things out because, you know, you can walk away from the Robert Woods contract in a year and a half, maybe 2 years, I mean, in 2 years or even maybe a year. The Cooper Kupp deal is ready right now, right? He's 3 years already into the NFL. He's going into a contract year. So are you willing to spend a big time contract on him or put him on the franchise tag next year, right? I mean, now you have Van Jefferson comes in. Go along with Josh Reynolds. So to me, that's why I think it's a good value pick. I don't look at the age. I look at the right now. And can he compete for a spot in this group that may be one with one less come next year if Robert Woods doesn't play up to a high level? That's just the way the NFL works. What have you done for me lately?
All right, Bergman, go ahead. Go do the thing you did to me, to Kirk. Let me see what you got.
We're not going over this again. I just wanted them to go after more offensive line because I didn't think their offensive line is that strong, and I wanted them to go more defense because they lost so much, especially in the middle linebacker position where they lost Corey Littleton. So I thought the most need was on offensive line and defense, and going with mostly offensive skill players, personally, I thought was the wrong decision.
Ooh, strong.
Yeah, and I strongly disagree with you on that one, Greg.
Taking an L.
Greg, take the L.
with the offensive line, Greg. If you honestly look at their offensive line, I thought that was actually a strong spot for them toward the end of the season. I mean, we can all base it on the offensive line, but let's be real. When you have a 50% Ty Gurley in the backfield, a lot of teams are just going to blitz. They're going to do things to that Rams offense that we just didn't see the prior year. But I love Brian Allen coming back from injury at center. And you got to think about Austin Blythe. He played well. Remember, he played center. He'll be back at his guard position. Austin Corbett, they already traded from him. He's a former second-round pick in the National Football League. He comes over from Cleveland. He played well. And then you got Bobby Evans. Rob Havenstein comes back. Remember, he restructured his contract. Joe Noteboom, he'll be back. Like, the Rams quietly, they've drafted well on the offensive line. And you give them another year to get this thing together. To me, I thought the offensive line, and that's the reason why they kind of just hung back, because they got a good group and a good nucleus that'll be better, especially when you have the complement of running backs I think the Rams will have without a half, you know, or 50% Ty Gurley.
We're going to just have to call you. We're going to have to change your name to something with an L, Greg. Larry?
we're not doing this.
No, I mean,
I agree to some. You say, oh, well, defensively, I would have loved for them to grab a middle linebacker. Definitely, Greg. I thought that would be something that they would do. But remember, teams are going to wait till after today. So after today, you can now sign free agents, and it won't go against you in terms of your compensatory picks, right? Because the Rams lost some, you know, Dante Fowler in free agency, so they'll probably get a pick back. So today, when you sign players after 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, then they won't count against the compensatory pick thing. So you can go out and get a veteran guy that can fit in there as well. So we're worried about the draft. And I keep telling people, George, Greg, I'm telling people, I'm just not so sure how this season rookies will have a substantial impact on teams.
Right.
With no offseason program, with no, you know, offseason work, OTAs, mini camps, you're going to have a bunch of young players coming in trying to learn an offense or a defense literally in a matter of weeks. I think this is going to be the year of the veterans. And if you don't believe me, I looked yesterday at what the New Orleans Saints did in picking up Jameis Winston to back up a Drew Brees. You're starting to see that teams realize that even the 49ers getting Trent Williams trade, they're getting older veteran players who can help you right away instead of maybe some of these younger players to make an impact.
Let's go to the phones before I move on to the Raiders, because I want to get your thoughts on the Raiders, a team you played for. John in Ventura wants to back Greg up. He wants to give Greg a W, not an L. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, the only reason why I want to do that is because I've coached for a number of years, and when it comes to your draft picks, I think you're going to get your best players in your top 10. After that, pretty much everybody bounces out. So when you're picking after that, you want to fill spots. You want to fill your need. And then you're looking for the guys that are coachable, people that you can teach to be better. I mean, best example, Tom Brady wound up being one of the best.
I mean, John, that's a terrible example. Yeah. You don't have six-round quarterbacks become the greatest of all time. That's only happened once in the history of the sport. If it was that correct. Easy, teams okay, would I'll do it all the time.
I give you that, but you do want to fill your needs.
Okay, let's address that. Okay, John, we'll address it. I don't agree with that, but thank you for the call. But
what was the major need? If we all before Thursday started, or in the Rams case, before Friday started, if we said the Rams, what is the Rams' biggest need? If you only had one pick in this draft and you could draft one player, what would the Rams draft?
I still think they would take a running back. That would have been running back. Yeah.
Okay. That was the one need that they got right away.
Right.
So after that, you just kind of go with the best player on your board. Sometimes
you
upgrade other positions. You don't have to always draft need. That's what gets people in trouble. Oh, we got to draft a need. Well, what if there's a player on our board who's actually better than another player in a certain area, and we can upgrade at that position? I'll probably do that instead.
Yeah, I agree with you. I go best player available. I figure out the talent situation, you know, first, and then find a place to put them. Laura, you wanted to weigh in on John and Ventura trying to back Greg up?
Yeah, he was horrible. I was like, damn, he did not help you out at all, Greg.
Greg, John tried to get your back, and it didn't work out so well.
I wish today that I had that I was at the studio and I had access to the soundboard.
I just saw your kiss up.
I could play kiss up sounds because that's all Laura does. If it's whatever George says, oh George, you're right about everything. I'm gonna play kissing up sounds. Oh, when I get back to the studio, I'm going to destroy Laura with this.
Wait till social distancing is over.
First of all, this is not true. I've gotten your back. Remember the sweatpants situation.
One time.
You did. That's true. She had you on the sweatpants.
Yeah.
You know what, Kirk? Before we move on to the Raiders, are you okay wearing sweatpants to the grocery store?
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. These two, no, they're not interested in that.
Yeah, not with this heat wave, though. Now this
Right. But a couple of weeks ago,
beginning of quarantine, I was sweatpants Kirk.
No, not during quarantine. This is all pre-quarantine.
Anytime you go to the grocery store. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. The Raiders, what did you make of their draft?
Well, I thought the first round pick, the first one, pick 12, I thought that was a great pick. I didn't believe that Henry Ruggs was going to be available for them at 12. I had him going to the Jets for Sam Darnold, but they went with Kai Becton. They picked the tackle to help out their young quarterback. With Ruggs available, I said, this is who John Gruden wanted. And this is a Raiders pick, right? A 4.27 40, one of the fastest guys in this draft. Yes, that was the great pick for them. Now the other pick, pick 19, that's the one I scratched my head a little bit on. Damon Arnett, he'll be 24 when the season starts. You talked about Van Jefferson being a little older receiver. Arnett is going to be an older defensive back. And I got a little heat about this on Twitter this weekend from other people, but this is just kind of my opinion, George, but it's sometimes feast or famine, right? It's risk versus reward when you draft Ohio State cornerbacks. Because when I look at
Eli Apple, right? Remember him?
Eli Apple. Or you could throw in Garyon Conley as well, another guy who was drafted high who's already on his second team in a short span. Not all Ohio State cornerbacks are going to be Denzel Ward or even Marshawn Lattimore.
Right.
You know, they could also be the other two, like we mentioned, Eli Apple or Garyon Conley. Are these defensive backs beneficiaries of who? The Bosas, the Chase Youngs of the world, right? Like those defensive linemen have helped out those cornerbacks. So that's why it's always, for me, just a little buyer beware on that. But outside of that, I thought the Raiders had an outstanding draft. They've got some of their needs definitely met. And I guess they have this pipeline between Clemson University and the Raiders. So now five players in the last 2 years from Clemson drafted by Mike Mayock and John Gruden.
They love them some Clemson. Cleveland Farrell, man. Cleveland, you want to go to the, you want to, what is it? What was it that he said?
You want to go to a program.
Yeah. You want to go to a program where the coach is all up in the videos?
Yeah, but the Raiders had a good draft, though. They did. They stuck to what they had to. And like I said, the Ruggs pick is just outstanding. They needed somebody who could stretch the field. We knew about last year the Antonio Brown thing didn't work out.
Yeah.
And so Ruggs comes in hungry. He's ready to roll. He'll give them, I think, that top. That top end speed. And look, and then the Raiders went out and got another pick. Look, Lynn Bowden Jr.
Yeah.
Okay, guy played running back, quarterback, wide receiver, man. He's going to be a gadget guy for the Raiders. So it's a interesting draft for the Raiders because they got a lot of talent, and I think it's only going to help them this season.
All right, we're up against it. Give me a letter grade of Kirk Morrison's teaching skills right now at the Morrison School of Higher Education. Just a letter grade.
Whoa. Right now, I'm about a B.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm working on my patience, right? You know,
I hear you.
Patience, right?
Thank you so much for stopping by, Kirk. We always appreciate it.
Sounds good. Always a pleasure, my man.
All right, thanks to Kirk. Thanks to me. Thanks to Laura and Greg and you guys for tuning in and calling in. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. See ya.